Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to what is the last Sunday of the year. And I'm excited for what God has got in store for us for the next year, aren't you? Yeah, I just believe that the best is always yet to come, and that God wants us spending more time looking out the windshield than in the rearview mirror. And so we're going to look in the rearview mirror for a bit, and then we're going to go forward as well. As we look at the last book of the Bible this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. Revelation 22, which is the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And we're going to be talking about the Alpha and the Omega. Now, the Alpha and Omega, those are Greek terms. They are the Greek letters of the alphabet. Alpha is the very first letter of the Greek alphabet. And you'll find that Omega is the very last letter of the alphabet. So Jesus here is speaking in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. He says, I am. You can almost stop right there. I am. Remember, he says that in Scripture. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the word of life. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You know, friends, just in a matter of a few hours, the year of 2017 is going to take its place in the annals of history. Well, at the very same time, that which awaits each and every one of us, that is the year of 2018, remains for the most part a mystery. For some of you, the year 2017 has been the very best year of your life. And you wish that 2017 could just last forever and forever. But for others of you, it has been the most difficult year you've ever lived. Relying on God's grace and help, you've made it. However, you're happy to see the year of 2017 come to an end. You know, time is a remarkable thing. Within time, generations, they literally come and go. This past week, my wife and I were going through some old videos, and on these videos, that became so real to me. As I was looking at the family, both my mom's side of the family, the Walden side of the family, and on the Brooks side of the family, as I was going through the old videos, I came across, you know, some videos of family reunions of years gone by, and not so many years gone by, really. But we're looking at them and hearing uncles and aunts and seeing my mom and seeing my dad and seeing my father's family and to realize there is not one uncle or aunt still living today on either side. History now records their names, but they are gone. You see, civilizations, they come and they go as well. They rise and fall. People of great notoriety, they pass through this thing called time with all the permanence of a fleeting shadow at nightfall. Let me give you a few names, see if you know what's in common with them. David Rockefeller, Chris Bevington, Monty Hall, Jerry Lewis, Jim Nabors, yes, Glenn Campbell, Mary Tyler Moore, David Cassidy. You know what they all have in common, don't you? They all passed away. They all died in the year of 2017. Now have taken their place in the chronicles of history. I want you to think about all the changes that have taken place since the time of Adam and Eve, when God gave them life and placed them in the garden. Think of all the things that have changed on planet Earth since that time. Think of all the changes just in the last 100 years alone. Friends, there is only one person that has bridged every single generation, nation, and civilization, and that one person is Jesus Christ. He is the one that binds all of the pages of history together. He is the only one that has been the constant, the consistent one, from the time of Adam up until our present day, passing through all generations, passing through all civilizations, all nations that have come and gone, all people who have come and gone. Yes, he is the one that binds the pages of history together, Jesus Christ. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with David when he faced Goliath on the battlefield. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Paul when he was out on a sinking ship in the angry waters of the Aegean Sea. He was with Martin Luther when he nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door. You see, dear friends, he has been with you since you were just a single cell of life. Every day, every year of your life, he has been the consistent one. Every second of world history, he has been here for. The year of 2017 is a testimony to each and every one of us today of God's keeping power and of God's goodness and the blessings that he has sowed into our life. And so we all look back and we can see that throughout this past year, indeed, God was present. You see, our God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. Look again at Revelation 22 and verse 13. Jesus said, I am the Alpha. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the alphabet. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You see, years come and go. Men and nations come and go. But friends, I am so glad that God remains the same. Hallelujah. God does not change. Now this morning, I want you to consider with me three keys that I believe will help you to live a successful life in the year of 2018. So let me give you three quick points that I believe that if you apply them to the upcoming year, they will help you immensely to live an overcomer's life in the year of 2018. First of all, I believe that we need to remember the past. Friends, the past represents our history with God. History is indeed, as someone has said, his story. That is true of each and every one of our lives. As we look back over the year 2017 and 16 and 15 and going all the way back as far as we can go, history is indeed his story. It is his interaction with our lives here on this earth in so many, many different ways. Time and time again, the Bible encourages us to recall to remembrance God's wonderful faithfulness. In Psalm 103, here's what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Notice here he declares, we must give praise and declare the goodness of God. In verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He says, now is the time to remember. So bless the Lord, remember what he has done, and now he begins to list some of the blessings that we have received. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many in the house this morning are so glad your name is written down the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen? Aren't you glad this morning that you have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Your sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west, as deep as the deepest sea, never to be brought back and rubbed in your face again. Who healeth all thy diseases. How many have ever been healed? If you got a belly button, you've been healed. Every single one of us has been healed time and time and time again. Friends, let me tell you, doctors can cut, but only God can heal. It is always the miraculous power. Do not take this lightly. Every single time, your body has made a comeback. And every time you've been strengthened from a sickness, a disease, from a surgery, whatever it may be, it is to God's glory that you're here this morning. And so the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. How many of us in this room can think about a time when it appeared as though an accident was going to happen and somehow God miraculously got us out of the mess we were in? God has been good. He says it's time to recall all of this. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, heals all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. How many have eaten a few good meals in the year 2017? How many plan to have at least one more good one before the year's over? All right. The Bible says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this, but watch out. Now this warning was given to the children of Israel just prior to going in and taking the promised land. After 40 years of wandering, God is telling them, when you go into the land I'm going to give you, it's going to be a land that is flowing with milk and honey, which simply means it is going to be a wonderful land. It's going to be a productive land, and you are going to live in cities you did not build. You're going to eat from vineyards you did not plant. You're going to live in houses you did not have to build. Now, he is saying to them, when you get into the land, watch out. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen God doing for you. May his miracles have a deep and permanent effect upon your lives. Tell your children and your grandchildren about the glorious miracles he did. So the Bible says we need to recall. We must stop and remember all the blessings that God has sown into our lives. Friends, we're admonished in Scripture not to forget God's past blessings. However, at the very same time, the Bible encourages us not to live in the past. You know, we always talk to individuals that live in the past. I remember when I was a student at North Central University, they brought in an individual that had planted many churches all across the Minneapolis area. And this man was now in his 90s. And he stood before this young congregation of most of us in our 20s at the time. And he said, you've probably heard all about the good old days. He said, I'm old enough to tell you, I lived in the good old days, and they were not all that good. You know, sometimes we get all caught up in the good old days, and we stay there. Friends, I get up every morning, and I want you to get up every morning of 2018, and I want you to believe the best is yet to come. It is not behind. It is not yesterday. It's not the year that has gone by. But the best is before us in the year of 2018. And I declare to you today that that is what God has in store for you. So live not in the past. Do not try to live on the past. And thank God we don't have to live with our past. Our past as men and women who have been redeemed, our past is forgiven. We are, however, then commanded in God's word to have a healthy remembrance of God's blessing upon our lives. Now, many times, you know, these blessings, if we're not careful and somehow trying to record them, they'll get lost in all the busyness of life. I would encourage you, take some pictures. You know, when you're together as a family, take some photos. When God has done something, do something to bring that into a place where you can remember it. You know, I'm sure that most of you are on Facebook. On Facebook, they will take at the end of the year, and they'll always have miraculously, and how they come up with all of this, and the technology behind it is both fascinating and a wee bit scary to me as well, to think they know that much about my life. And if you think it's just my life, you're on there too, all right? And we can follow each other, but they'll have the year in review. Matter of fact, last night, I saw where they said that 35,000 people liked the various posts that I had throughout the past year. I think, what did I post? What was on there? And then you begin to take and recall, you know, and it will show us all the friends we've made and, you know, the postings we've had, and they'll put it together in just a few, you know, maybe a minute at the most video to recall it all. I'm just simply saying, do whatever you've got to do. There's nothing like getting those old photos out and beginning to reflect. We did some of that this past week, as I already told you. And we were watching, you know, the kids when they were just small and, you know, toddlers and, you know, off on the first family vacation. And you know what it does? All of this reminds me of God's goodness. And every picture is a picture of God's blessing. And you'll walk through life, and there'll be some times when some of the photos of life are not going to be all that pleasant, but they're memorials. I have in my pictures a picture of the headstone of my mom and dad, and my brother Kenneth. Those are in my photo album as well. But they remind me, I had a wonderful dad, a wonderful mother that lived 100 years. I had a brother that God did a wonderful turnabout in his life in his latter days. It's exciting to look at even those things because they trigger memories. Do whatever you have to do to trigger a memory. Some of you are journalers and you love to journal and you like to write down what God has done. And you have a marvelous way of writing. Let me encourage you to do so. Others of you, to share with one another. Share the blessing of the Lord. Now the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, whatever you do, do not forget the Lord your God. He said, when things are going well, when things are going good, he said, in those moments, you're going to be tempted to forget all about the Lord your God. And so the Bible says, the best thing we can do is to recall the blessings of the Lord, because when we recall them, there's a wonderful way about reliving them at that moment. And so recall and relive and rejoice in the Lord your God, is what the Bible is saying. And so do so often in this upcoming year. Pictures and journaling and sharing, whatever you do, do not forget the past. However, do not live on the past. Now, secondly, enjoy the present. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, you know, this psalm is one that is often repeated, and I think few of us really know the historical background for this particular verse. Before I read it, let me give you a little background. This is what is considered to be a messianic portion of Scripture, meaning that it applies to Jesus Christ. These words, when you apply that and you understand that these words describe the feeling of that moment that Jesus was going to ascend to the cross of Calvary. Listen to what it says. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In such a moment, the Bible says, even in such a time as that, I will rejoice and I will be glad in this day. This is a day the Lord hath made. Friends, let me tell you, men can make many things. They can make buildings. They can make buildings out of stone, out of brick, out of wood, out of glass, out of steel. They can make cars and airplanes and all of these things. But man cannot make or create one second of time. Only God can do that. This is a day the Lord hath made. This is a moment of time the Lord has made. And because he has made it, I understand he has something in store for me this very day. The past is history. The future is a mystery. But today is a gift. That is why it is called the present, in the play on the word present. I keep that on my desk. It was given to me as a platform a number of years ago by someone, and I've kept that ever since. Someone else has said it this way: yesterday's in the tomb, tomorrow's in the womb, today is God's gift to us. Friends, there is no time like the present. So often I hear people say that, I'll be happy when, and they'll put a marker out of when they're going to be happy. Let's see if any of this played out in your life, because I think most of us probably went through some of these same feelings at one time or another. And we said, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get my driver's license. How many ever felt that way? I'll be happy when I get my driver's license. Well, I got my driver's license, then I figured something out. I had a license, but no car. So then it was, I'll be happy when I have my driver's license and I have a car. I'll be happy when I graduate. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I get a better paying job. I'll be happy when I retire. You see, we keep putting all these markers out, then we keep moving them a little further out. Here's the deal. We start out with something as simple, and I realize it is simple, but nonetheless, we say, when I get my own wheels, when I have a driver's license, I can come when I want to come, and I want to go when I want to go, and we start playing this out in mind, then we're going to be happy. And then it's a realization, well, that really doesn't fill that God-shaped void and that need in my life and that place of happiness inside of me. And so it must be the next marker, which is graduation, whether it's from high school or whether it's undergrad or whether it's postgrad. It's somewhere along the way, when I get enough education and get this behind me, then I'm going to be happy. And then it's when I get married, and then it's a better paying job, and we push it off all the way to retirement. Let me tell you a little story, and this story is one that's been around for some time, but it's a wonderful little story. An American investment broker was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat came into the dock and had just one fisherman on board. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The banker complimented the fisherman on the quality of his fish and asked him how long it took him to catch it. And the fisherman replied, "Only a little while." Then the banker asked, "Why didn't you stay out longer and catch more fish?" The fisherman said, "With this, I have more than enough to support my family's needs." The banker then asked, "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" "Yes," the fisherman replied. He said, "I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take siesta with my wife Maria, and I stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine, play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life." The banker scoffed. "I can help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. And with the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you would have a fleet of fishing boats. And instead of selling your catch to the middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening up your own cannery. You would control the product, the processing, and the distribution. You could leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, then on to Los Angeles, and eventually to New York City, where you could run your ever-expanding enterprise." The fisherman asked, "But how long will all this take?" The banker replied, "Maybe 15 or 20 years. "But what then?" asked the fisherman. The banker laughed and said, "That's the best part. When the time is right, you could sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions? Then what?" The banker said, "Then you could retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you could sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take siesta with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip wine, play the guitar with your other friends." Friends, getting there is supposed to be half the fun. Enjoy the present. You know, I've discovered that there are two things that would try to rob us of enjoying the present moments in life. That is worry about the past or worry about the future. And as Christians, I'm so glad that our past has been redeemed. We do not have to worry about our past. And I am so glad that our future is sure. Enjoy the present. A friend of mine invited me to his house one day. Jerry Fetter was his name. Jerry was a cabinet maker, and not only a cabinet maker, but he was a whiz with stainless steel. He could make some of the most amazing products. And this man took me over to his house, and he said, "Can we go down the basement, and I just want to have a little conversation with you." And so we went down into the basement. We sat at his drafting board in the basement, turned on his light. My wife Sherry stayed upstairs along with his wife, and they were having a little bit of coffee and a cookie, and here we were having this conversation. And Jerry reached out in the midst of it all, and he took a picture and set it before me. He says, "Pastor, what do you see?" I looked at the picture. I said, "It's a picture of a lake." He said, "No, tell me, what do you see?" I said, "Well, I guess I see some birds above the lake." What kind of birds are those? Well, one appears to be an eagle, and maybe the other a seagull. I'm not quite sure. He said, is that all you see? I said, well, now that you mention it, there's a log that has fallen. There's a tree had fallen into the water, and this log was kind of floating above the water line. And on it, there was about three turtles, and they were out in the sun. He said, is that all you see? I said, well, you know, now that I'm looking, I can see back over in the corner of the picture here, back into the woods, I see a deer or two that are piercing and looking through the woods. He said, is that all you see? I said, well, you know, now that you mention it again, I said, I can see there's a fox. Is there anything else you can see? Is that all? I said, well, I do see a pheasant, and that pheasant seems rather nervous knowing that there's a fox nearby. Is that all you see? Well, I see a water lily. Is that all you see? And he took me methodically through every single piece of that entire picture. And then he said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, that artist put everything into that picture. It didn't just happen. Everything in that picture was put there for your pleasure. It was all placed there so that you could enjoy. He said, when you looked at the picture, you said, it's a lake. And you missed 99% of everything that was in the picture for your benefit. And then he said, that is the way God is. Your day is made up of so many components and so many pieces. It is made up of little things like you just awaken in the morning. And we call that rather small. But that's not so small. Matter of fact, this past week we had one, 63 years of age, did not wake up. I just got a phone call before I came into this service. A son in Cudahy that choked to death. Everything that happens in life, friends, if you're not careful, you're going to miss out on it. In the midst of all the sorrow and the heartache at times, if you begin to look at the big picture, you'll see that God has placed more into that picture than you could ever imagine. The sunrise is a gift from God. The stars at night is God saying, I just want you to know, I put all this out there just for you. Life is filled if we're looking. Otherwise, all we say is, it's another day. It's another 24 hours. Another year has passed by and is now ready to go into the files of history. But in all of life, we're surrounded, if we're looking for it, the unique blessings of the Lord. Don't worry about your past and don't worry about the future. Our past is redeemed and our future is sure. Enjoy the present. And enjoying the present, let me just encourage you, see all that God has put into every single day just for you. That smile that somebody gave you that made your day. You know, I've gotten so that when somebody writes something that really blesses my life, I try to respond back to them as quickly as I can. By Facebook, email, or whatever means they, you know, give me that information. I try to respond just saying, you just made my day. Because I believe that God is the one that inspired them to do what they did. And you'll find that God has inspired people to simply give you a word of encouragement when you need it, a smile, a pat on the back, a word, you can make it. Along with everything else that God has created in the universe round about, just for you to enjoy. Let's not miss out on anything that God has painted for us in any day of 2018. And last of all, don't fear the future. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that spans all time from beginning to end. Friends, never in the history of the world has there been more uncertainty and fear. Since 9/11, nothing has been the same. our lives in one way or another have all been influenced by something that happened on 9/11. Threat levels, they fluctuate up and down. Anxiety abounds. A feeling of worry, nervousness, unease, typically about some imminent event or about something with an uncertain outcome. New emotional disorders are emerging all the time, and people are beginning to sense the pressure of the age. This new level of anxiety and stress knows absolutely no age limit. Children are now beginning to have diseases directly related to stress and anxiety, along with senior saints. Friends, on the basis of God's word, I am so glad to know that the only legitimate fear we as Christians should know is a wholesome, awesome fear of Almighty God. And if we fear God, as the Bible said we should, and that is not a fear, you know, that is a trepidation kind of fear. It is an awe, it's a respect, it's one that gives him glory because we realize he is the mighty God. He is the one that makes the heavens and the earth. He's the one that holds our lives in the palm of his hand. And knowing who he is, and knowing his might, and knowing that one day we're going to stand before him, and the Bible says we'll all give an account for the things we've done in the body. I don't know about you, but friends, that gives me an awful respect of God. And the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and of understanding. So out of this, we know that one day we're going to stand before Almighty God. And there is a respect for that. An awe for that. I do not refer to him as the man upstairs. He is the Almighty God. He deserves more than that. And I believe that our God deserves our best in every area of life. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. And the Bible also admonishes us, whatever we do with all of our might. We do nothing half-hearted. We do everything because we're doing it unto the Lord. And so this fear of God actually works in our advantage. Because I know who God is, because I know the greatness of God, because I know the might of God, I do not have to fear what men may do. Because God is greater than all. And I do not have to walk around worrying or fretting about this, that, or the other thing. Because my God knows my name. He has it recorded, the Bible says, on his hands. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 43. He says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Do you realize in the Bible there are 365 fear nots, either by phrase, by theme, or collectively? 365. How many days out of most years? 365. Now, if you want to be scared, wait until leap year, all right? Then I don't have a verse for you on that year. Now, some say there's 366, so we'll give them that as well. But fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. God knows your name. He knows where you're at. He knows every situation of your life. And I want you to know today, as you face this brand new year, you can face it knowing Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that started us out in 17. He's the one that's going to close us out in victory. He's the one that starts us out in 18, and he's going to be the one that's going to be there to close the calendar 12 months from now. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Remember the past. Enjoy the present. Don't fear the future.